get back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, August 14, 2026 edition. Joining us on the line right now is Pastor Chatfield. He's got a topic, history lesson for us today. Is the modern state of Israel a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? Was it foretold? Was it in the good book? Based on what is currently happening in Israel right now. Good morning, Pastor Chatfield.
Good morning. Now, this is a historical / theological debate. It really is, but it's important because it has a bearing on things. And you've heard me talk about this before. Christians in this country are moving away with an affirmative answer to this. More and more people are saying, wait a minute here. The Israel there in the Middle East that's taking the land away from the Palestinians and committing genocide in Gaza, that's not, no. The church is Israel. These people are Zionist. They've been financed by the Rothschilds. They're evil people. And there's a growing number of people, even Christians, even conservatives, that are thinking that. I've never seen something like this in my lifetime, how the attitude, especially among Christians, has changed on this. Currently, you know, and I want to talk about Harry Truman and how the he came to the conclusion to support Israel or to recognize Israel, which is a huge deal in American history and in world history. I'll talk a little bit about the formation of the modern state of Israel, but then we'll spend a lot of time, I hope, talking about is this Israel really the Israel of the Bible? Because there's a growing number of people that don't think it is, and think and every time that the media, especially the left, the extreme left and the extreme right media, come up and say something about Israel and how bad they are and how evil they are and we've been deceived and so on and so forth, more and more people are believing it in the Democratic Party. The majority of people are anti-Israel now. The majority of people are anti-Israel. In the Republican Party, a growing minority are anti-Israel. I wouldn't say the majority, but a growing minority. And a lot of them are the extreme right, which we'd call a lot of America First people. Some MAGA people are anti-Israel. They have now bought into the... There used to be a magazine called The Spotlight. I don't know if you remember this, but that was an anti-Semitic right-wing magazine. A lot of American Christians have bought into the whole notion that Adolf Hitler, while he was not a good guy, But, you know, this whole Holocaust thing and this whole 6 million Jews murdered thing is really, that's really overblown. And really, it's about the Republican Party has sold its soul to the Zionist movement, the rich Rothschilds and the international Jewish bankers who have financed the Republican Party. And it's about time we woke up and said that these people, that the interests of the United States and the interests of Israel are directly, diametrically opposed to each other, and we need to just stay out of it completely. This is the same group of people that are saying, let's get out of Iran right now, immediately, get out. Let's not have Israel control our foreign policy, the interests of Israel. You know that Donald Trump is under the thumb of Benjamin Netanyahu. I've seen people say that repeatedly. I want to kind of address that because it's pretty important.
Excellent. Perfect spot for a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
The W Tax Group fights your IRS and state tax problems. With experienced tax attorneys and a dedicated legal team, we represent clients in all 50 states. We resolve tax liens, wage garnishments, back taxes, and reduce tax liabilities for businesses and individuals. We secured over $10 million in tax debt relief for clients every year. Call the W Tax Group today and get experience nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
Hear ye, hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us. So let that feeling.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Second segment, history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield, talking about, is it prophecy from the Bible, the current state of affairs going on in Israel right now? Was this foretold? Is it in the Bible? Also, Pastor Chatfield, you left off talking about people saying that Bibi Netanyahu is controlling Donald Trump when it comes to his foreign policies and what's going on with Iran right now.
Right. And this, there's a huge argument. I posted something on Facebook. I get half the pushback is negative. Okay, here's fundamentally the question. Is the Israel of the Old Testament, it was given all these promises, whether to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and then throughout all the prophets, is that the Israel of today? Or is the Israel of today have nothing to do with the Bible? And many people now believe that for numerous reasons. Part of it is a theological idea that the church is now Israel. And every promise given to the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, to Israel, that we need to understand it allegorically or spiritualize it so that we understand that that's a prophecy given to the church. And that these people over there in the Middle East now, they're not Jews. They're not Israelites. According to the Bible, they're just people, any people who have taken some land from its proper owners, which is not biblical. It's not even historical. It's even if you didn't think that the Jewish people, the Israelis that are in the Middle East had any promise from God, it seems to me in our best interest, in the interest of the United States, to support them because they're the only country that even approaches a Republican form of government. They're the only one that is somewhat thinks like we do, somewhat. Okay. But I do believe that it is biblical, and I do not believe that Israel is the church and the church is Israel. That's a big, huge argument. And some have even argued this, and I've heard it. Tucker Carlson suggested it. I've heard it from others, that somebody did some sort of a DNA study of the people in Israel. And when you trace it back to the first century or, to, you know, before the time of Christ, they're not even Israelis at all. They came from some area in Turkey, and the DNA proves it, and blah, 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 blah. And then people hear that, and then they just run with it, that they're not Israelis at all. And then I will grant you there's some New Testament verses that need to be explained about Israel and the church and who is the Israel of God. There's some explanation. Yes. Okay, let me start off by saying this. God in the Old Testament clearly promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, everybody, Zechariah, Isaiah, all the prophets, that the land belonged to Israel, that this is their land, and God would restore Israel as a nation. Israel, the northern tribes, was taken captive in 722 BC, and they were kind of dispersed. In 586, the southern half of Israel, known as Judah, was taken by the Babylonians. And from 586, really, till 1948, they didn't have control of their own homeland. Didn't have control of it. They were under the dominion of Israel first, the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians, and then the Persians, and then the Greeks, then the Romans, then the Ottoman Turks. And there was a period of Christian Crusades, so-called Christian Crusades in the Middle East, true. But Israel did not control their own land at all. And there's a lot of history. I have to kind of breeze over this. Around 1917, there was something called the Balfour Declaration by Britain that kind of said, hey, these Jews could have their own homeland. Didn't get it, but that was out there. And then, as we know, what happened in the 1930s, the extreme anti-Semitism brought on by Hitler and the Nazis. And during the World War II, 6 million Jews were slaughtered. And so after World War II, there was a growing something called Zionism. The idea, a lot of Jews getting together to believe that we should go back and get our own homeland. Now, didn't start after World War II. Started significantly, maybe 100 years earlier. But it really gained a lot of support from the world, from Europe especially, because they were sympathetic to what happened to the Jews during World War II. So they went back. A number of Jews started going back, Harry Truman supported it. Let him go back. But he never said that we should recognize them as a nation. But they did, in 1948, declared themselves an independent nation. Now, let me give you some background here. Truman was watching all this, as was the United States. And his cabinet was just divided on the whole thing. They were divided. George Marshall, Secretary of State, World War II hero, maybe the most, I mean, he was the man that in the late 1940s produced what we call the Marshall Plan, and to save Europe, to send a lot of money over to Europe to rebuild Europe so Europe wouldn't fall to communism. He and the entire State Department did not want Truman to recognize Israel. If Israel declared their independence, don't recognize them. We'll lose our friends, our Arab friends. We'll lose access to oil. It's not in American interest to do it. And Truman was just listening to all this. It was met, one man on his, wasn't in the cabinet. He was a political advisor, Clark Clifford, who said, no, we have a moral responsibility here because of the Holocaust. And, you know, politically, it might help us with the, we need to take the state of New York. They didn't end up winning New York in 1948, but we need Jewish support to win the election. And George Marshall hated that argument, says this is not about politics, this is about national interest. But they debated it, And the fact is, Harry Truman grew up a Baptist, and he read the Bible. Just plain old read the Bible. And he could see that there would be a restoration of Israel. Now, let me go backwards a little bit to World War One. Harry Truman fought in World War One, and with him, he had a friend that he'd met. His name was Eddie Jacobson, who was a Jew. And they fought together in World War One. And then later, they formed a business in Kansas, in Independence, Kansas, Independence, Missouri, in which they formed a Habesher, a men's clothing. And they worked together. They were good friends, maybe best friends. But the business collapsed. It was a, there was a downturn in the economy, but they remained very good friends throughout their whole lives. They became good friends. And he was Jewish, and they really didn't talk a whole lot about politics exactly. But when this was coming up in 1948, the Jewish lobby in the United States was lobbying harshly, hardly, ineffectively, Truman recognized Israel. And he says, these people are trying to corner me and blackmail me. He kind of rejected it. But this lobby knew, the Jewish lobby knew that Eddie Jacobson was a good friend with Harry Truman. And he didn't need an appointment because Truman wouldn't meet with the lobbyists. But he had access anytime he wanted to go talk to Truman. So he enters in the back door of the White House, and he's allowed to speak with the president. And he gets in, and they talk about small things in the past and so on and so forth. And Eddie Jacobson, his very old friend that he met during World War One, said, you know, there's a picture here, a statue of Andrew Jackson. He's your hero. And he was a brave man, and he took risks. I'm going to ask you, you need to meet with Shane Weizmann. He was the Zionist, the Jewish Zionist leader, later became the first prime minister of Israel. You need to meet with him. He's in the United States. He wants to meet with him, wants to meet with you. The State Department didn't want him to, didn't want Truman to meet with him because they were walking a very delicate line here. And basically, Jacobson appeals to their friendship. He says, President, or Harry, I've never asked you anything. I've never asked you for a favor, but I'm asking you this favor. Would you please meet with Shane Weizmann? And the story goes that Harry Truman was in a swivel chair. He turned around his back to his friend, Eddie Jacobson, and started banging on his, like this, you know, boom, 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 on the chair. And Jacobson said, I don't know for how long. He said, it seemed like an eternity. And he swung around, Harry Truman did, and said, quote, I won't You'll have to fill in the exact blank. All right, you bald-headed son of a female dog. You win. I'll see Weitzman. He didn't use the word son of a female dog.
Right, he did not. He used the word witch.
I'm not saying. Yes. All right, you bald-headed son of a female dog. You win. I'll see Weitzman. And so Eddie Jacobson leaves there. Weitzman does get invited to the White House, and this is international news. The whole world is watching. And Harry Truman, who believed the Bible, was moved by Weitzman, and he explained everything they were trying to do. And he went against all the advice of his State Department. As a matter of fact, George Marshall said, in a meeting previous to the official recognition, he said, if you recognize them, I don't think I'll vote for you. And on May 14th, 1948, the State of Israel declared its independence. 11 minutes later, the United States officially granted de facto U.S. recognition. And there were some more legal things that had to happen. But 11 minutes later, the United States was the first country to recognize Israel. Now, as you know, Harry Truman did win the election of 1948. My view, this might be the best thing he ever did. Now, was this, has in the history of the world, has there ever been a country totally dispersed around the whole world that maintained its identity, its ethnic identity, and then went back to a land and reclaimed it and restarted a nation? And by the way, war broke out almost immediately. The United States did not immediately, Harry Truman wasn't, that was a bridge too far for him. He wasn't going to supply them with a lot of weapons, but they, believe it or not, retained their independence, even though most of the Arab world attacked them. And they, when they were in wars regularly, okay, 48, 56, 67, 72, I mean, all sorts of conflicts have been going on ever since, and they've maintained that. Now, was this just a quirk of history? Was just this something that happened, or was this the fulfillment of something that God had promised that He would regather His people? Now, I think it's the latter. I think that this is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I think that Israel is Israel. Now, there's so many people now say, "Well, Israel, you got to understand Israel in the Bible is now the church." And see, that's what people like Tucker Carlson, yes, and to some measure, J.D. Vance are saying, the vice president. That's what he's saying. Not directly, but sort of. I mean, he's kind of saying that. And so we get into this theological debate. Most of Christianity between 500 A.D., and 1600 AD believed in what we would call replacement theology. They were amillennialist. They did not take the promises of God in the Old Testament to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, you name it. You don't take those literally. And that when the Bible talks about land in the Bible, they didn't mean land. When God said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, look to the north, south, east, and west, all this land to thee and to thy seed I will give it. That's not really land. You can't interpret it that way. But I do. I take it at face value.
Very good. Excellent. Hey, I got a text message from one of our listeners. I'll send it to your phone and get your response to it on the other side. Family Hour News Break of hour number 2. We'll be right back.